Get this number and call it right now. 318-266-8262. 266-8262. Go to your phone. I'm getting ready to go to the phone now.
KKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you. By our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. When you have Genesis chapter number 39, I want you to say with me, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. All right, Genesis chapter 39, we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse number 1 through verse number 6. Amen. Amen. And it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. In verse 5, it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. May God add a blessing to you all. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to use for a thought, a title, a topic, or a tag this morning on this message, the Lord was with him. Amen. And maybe a subtitle for you all, when the Lord is with you. Amen. Amen. So I want you to make this personal. Amen. Because I'm talking to you as well as to myself. Amen. The book of Genesis, the beginning, has this story of this one particular young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Israel, or the son of Jacob. Joseph was his favorite son. And it was, he had parental partiality because it showed up in how he treated Joseph. Joseph was the first, or at that time, before Benjamin was born, the only son between Jacob and his love, Rachel. You got to understand that he wanted Rachel first, and his uncle tricked him and gave him Leah first. And so he never really intended to have Leah, but he worked an extra 7 years because he wanted to be connected to Rachel. He wanted to be married to her. And so he had children with Leah, but Rachel had no children. And so finally, when he got old in age, God blessed them to be able to have a child. And he called his name Joseph, which God had added to them. Amen. And so this young man was the favorite of his father. And I don't know why he was just the favorite, other than he was born to Rachel, whom he loved intentionally. Leah was the one that was given to him, but Rachel was the one that he chose. And so he had this son with him, and he gave him a coat of many colors to show how he favored him and how much approval this son had. He gave him a coat of many colors. And so not only that, but he made him somewhat a supervisor or a lead son when it came to doing the work that he had given his sons to do. Because whenever he wanted to know what was going on with the herd of sheep or the cattle or whatever was going on in the field, he'd send Joseph, and Joseph would check on things and tell him what the daddy said, and then come back and tell the daddy what was going on. If they wanted to, he wanted to send something to them, he would send Joseph. And so Joseph had favor, but the brothers didn't like his favor. And sometimes in life, you may have favor with God and with some people, but people who look upon you and they say, well, I don't like his favor. Uh-huh. But it's okay when people don't like your favor, because your favor don't come from them. Your favor comes from the Lord. And so the Lord was with him. And so when they looked upon him, and they envied him, they hated him. The Bible says that Joseph had a dream. And in his dream, he basically, I don't have to tell you about the dream, many of you know, but in his dream, it basically put him above them. And they said that we need to do something about this dreamer. You know, sometimes you got to understand that you might be around people who are dream killers. Uh-huh. People who don't want to see your dream come to pass. People who would much rather you not prosper and much rather you not make it. You'll be around those folks and not even know it. And you know the bad thing, sometimes they look just like you. Sometimes, somebody say amen. Sometimes they act like you. Sometimes they live where you live. Amen. That's what Joseph's problem was, is that the people that he thought should support him did not. Amen. Amen. Joseph's problem was that his brothers, the ones who came from his own father, they thought to do him harm. So they took Joseph and they put him in a pit and they said, let's see what happens to his dream now. They dream stoppers. They wanted to stop his dream from happening. But that did not stop Joseph from dreaming. We got to get to a place where even if we have situations that seem unfavorable, we cannot stop dreaming. We cannot stop believing that God will do what he said that he would do. Ah, hallelujah. And so Joseph was put in a pit, and the Bible says that they were intending to kill him, but then they had a couple of brothers that one of them, he said, well, let's just hide him. Let's not put his blood on our hands. Then another brother said, well, let's just sell him to the Ishmaelites or the Midianites that's coming through. And that's what they did. They sold him into slavery. And then once they got down to Egypt, his cousins, the Ishmaelites, now look at this, his brothers sold him to his cousins, and his cousins sold him to a stranger. He was 17 years old, and they came against him, and his cousins sold him into a strange land. Wow, look at that. It's a family affair sometimes. It's the curse of having people in your life that really don't care about you. They care about themselves. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost, to do this. And so they sold him into slavery. And here now, here's where we are in this chapter, chapter 39. Chapter 37 is where all this stuff goes on. They sold him into slavery, and he was purchased by Potiphar. Potiphar was, the Bible says, that he was the chief captain of the guard, or basically he was the head of the secret service for Pharaoh. All right. And so here we are now, everybody up to date. And here we are. And Joseph in verse 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And I wondered why the Bible says he was brought down to Egypt when Egypt is just west, amen, of Israel. And he was brought down. And I realized that because he was on cloud 9 when he was at home. I realized that he was up high when he went home. His spirits was lifted. He was lifted. His life was lifted. But when he got sold into slavery, he was brought down. Now notice this. When they took him and they put him in the pit, they took his coat from him. They took his coat from him, put blood on it from a goat, and they told his daddy, I think he's dead. So that his daddy would not look for him ever again. Amen. And the thing about it is that that coat represented the favor that the father had given him. And so they took his coat. And don't you know that a lot of times the enemy wants to take your coat? The enemy wants to take your favor. He wants to take what the Father has given you. The Bible says that the enemy come not to do what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he comes to do. And he wants to take something from you. We got to stop looking at what we got trying to hold on to it. Just know that what God gave us, he's going to be able to keep us with what we got. And it's not because we wear the coat. But it's because God just loves us. Yeah. Joseph had to learn it wasn't about my coat. Because they took my coat, but the Lord was still with me without my coat. Oh, hallelujah. Verse number one says, and he was sent down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, the Egyptian, bought him from the hands of the Ishmaelites, and which had brought him down there. Now, we got to understand, look, Joseph, they didn't think his life was worth more than $100. His life wasn't even worth more than $100. They sold him for cheap down into slavery. Amen. And the thing about it was that they didn't need the money because their father was rich. Amen. So let's look at this. Verse 1, the first point I want you to see is that God always has a plan. God has a plan. But his dream, Joseph's dream, put him in a dilemma. And anytime you have faith, it will put you into something. Anytime you have vision, it will put you into something because your vision and faith will not allow you to just stay where you are and do just what you're doing. Your vision and your faith makes you want more. Your vision and your faith makes you want to progress. Your vision and your faith wants you to be healed. Your vision and your faith wants you to have more than what you had yesterday, to do more than you did this morning. Come on and say amen. So your vision and your faith pushes you to do more. It makes you want to press when the rest of everybody just relaxing. It makes you say, I can't relax. I have to do more. But when we look at what God's plan is, God's plan puts us in his providence. And sometimes when we're in God's providence, it's not always in our favor. It seems like it's sometimes that we have problems. Now, I know preachers have told people in the past that all you got to do is give it over to God and you won't have any trouble. I came to let you know this morning that you will have trouble when you got vision. I came to let you know that when you have faith, there is an enemy to your faith that will attack your faith. I came to let you know as long as you trust God, there's something always pressing against you to keep you from trusting God. And so here's Joseph in God's providence, in God's plan, in God's will, but not understanding what's going on because he's given me a dream, but God is still in control. Anybody know that God is in control? Tell your neighbor, God is in control. God is in control because we're in his will. We're in his way. He knows what he's doing. I may not know what I'm doing, but God knows what he's doing. If God knows what he's doing, then I need to trust and let God have his way. But as long as I'm in God's plan and in his providence and he's in control, that means I'm under his protection. That's why the brothers couldn't kill him. Because they decided we need to kill him and let's see what happens to his dream. But they couldn't kill him because God was in control. They didn't know. If you read further, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you read further about the story, Joseph said that what you meant for bad, God turned it for good. And it was God's will that I come down here to Egypt because without me, you couldn't eat. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. And so sometimes what we go through, we may not be able to see what God is doing, but once we get there, we can say, that's why God took me through what I went through. That's why I had the pain that I had. That's why I had to deal with what I had to deal with, because today I'm so much stronger. I'm so much wiser. I'm so much better. I'm so much greater than I was back then. And by the way, since I'm as great as I am, I can help you now. Even though you hurt me, I can help you. Do I have any Christians out there? that say, I know they tried to hurt me, but I'm still going to help them. I wish I had somebody in the place today. God has a plan for us. And we got to understand that there's always going to be trials. And if God is going to make you better, he's going to take you through trials. He's going to take you through tribulations. The Bible says that think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which are what? To try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. This is not strange, but it's happening into everybody. All your brethren, all your sisters that are in Christ, something is happening in their life too. You're not the only one. So don't say, woe is me. I'm the only one going through. Don't have the Elijah syndrome. Lord, I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only. And God said, no, I got other folks that's dealing with situations. But what you need to know is that I'm still in control. We got to understand that through tribulation, the Bible said, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. How do I get in the kingdom? Through what I go through. I'm going through it, but I go through it with faith. I go through it with peace. I go through it with the joy of the Lord. After all I've been through, I still, y'all still looking at me funny, I still have joy. I may not be what you want me to be, but by God, thank you that I got joy to keep on pressing to become all that God wants me to be. And so we got to understand that tribulation works patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And then we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. God will not disappoint us as we go through. I may go through, David say, yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because God is with me. I need you to know that the Lord is with you today. I need you to understand that God has not forsaken you. He said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but he'll be with you even unto the end of the world. And I want you to be encouraged to know that God is with you through your trial, through your pain, through your tribulation. When they lie on you, he's with you. When they talk about you, he's with you. When they talk about you like you got a tail and everything, then God is still right with. I wish I had somebody that understood that God is with you. God is with me. Don't think that God has forsaken you. He will not leave you alone. The Bible even declares that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And we got to know that if he does something for somebody who don't care nothing about him, what about me? He cares about me and I care about him. What about, oh, come on and say, man, here, we need to know if God is for us, who can be against us? Tell you somebody, say, who? Who can be against? Nobody can be against us. We got to see that God has a plan. Even though I go through trials, I got to trust him. Can you trust God when you can't trace him? I can't see his hand, but I know he's there. That's why when David said that, let me go back to Psalm 23. When David said, "Then I walk through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death," David said, "I can't see his hand, but I see a shadow." The only way that you can have a shadow is if there's some light. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. The Bible said God is what? Light. And so in order for me to go through this valley, in this dark valley of death, and I see a shadow, that means that God is overshadowing the shadow. God is bigger than what I'm seeing. He's still in control. He sits high. He looks low. He's a God that don't slumber, neither does he sleep. But God sees it all. He knows it all. And he can do it all. Oh, my. Praise his name. God has a plan. But look at this. We see God's plan is for him to prosper. Let's go on to let's look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, look at the protection. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? Prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Look at this. I do not care what predicament you end up in. I don't care what situation you end up in. I don't care what, even in a place of bondage. You heard the testimony this morning. Even in a place of bondage, God will prosper you. God will bless you. God will deal with you. Come on and say, man, there is no place that God is not. David said that if I make my bed in hell, you are there, God. So no matter where I go, because you love me, you're going to go with me. Oh, hallelujah. You got to have confidence in God that he's with. He loves me so much that no matter where I go, what I go through, he is right there with me. Can I get a witness here? Verse 2 and 3 said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Look at Joseph's prosperity. He, not only did God have a plan and that God had a protection for him, but God prospered him. And we got to understand that in the plan of God, he will prosper us. He will make sure we have what we need. He'll make sure that people see that we're prosperous. And you know, it's funny how sometimes you may know what you're lacking, but people don't know what you're lacking. You ever had somebody ask you for something that you really didn't have, but they thought you had it? Why? Because God makes you look good. God makes you look like you got it, baby. God makes you look like you got plenty. Come on and say amen. God makes you look prosperous until you become prosperous. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I've been there. I don't know about you. Man, I wish I did have it. But you know what? God will make you look good even when you don't feel good. And you know what else? Even when you don't act good, God is still good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to see the prosperity of Joseph. Joseph had lost his family. He lost his coat. He lost his pride, but he didn't lose his integrity. Oh, hallelujah. Here he was in the house of his master. Somebody, look, Joseph went from being a free man, being an overseer of his brethren, being younger than his brothers, but better in his father's eye than his brothers, to becoming just the old slave. Just somebody who served. Amen. And the Bible says that God made his hand to what? Prosper. And the Bible tells us in Psalm number 1, he tells us that whatever we do, we shall what? Prosper. Whatever you put your hand to do, God will make you prosper. Notice what else he said. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water who will bring forth his fruit in his season. Now, a tree is not his, but you are today. Amen. You are a son of God, a child of God. He said you'll bring forth fruit in your season. We got to understand our season. We need to know that when it's our season, can't no devil in hell, can't nobody, can't nothing stop your season of prosperity. You will prosper in your season. But the Bible says that your leaf shall not wither. Even when I don't have the fruit that you think I ought to have, I look like I got it because I'm still evergreen. I'm still evergreen. And he said, you'll prosper in your what? Season. And I wish we quit looking for a day. We quit looking for the day the Lord do something today. We need to know that it's going to be the season that God is going to do it. He's going to keep it going for days and days and days. Not just one day. I look for one day God just bless me. No, I look for the season in which God bless me, because one day is not going to be enough. I've been through enough hell. I've been through enough high waters. I've been through many valleys. I've been through many trials. I've been through all of that, all those other days. But in this season, God is going to make us all right. He's going to help us for many, many days. He's going to help us for many, many months. I have a season. Every dog has a day, but I'm not a dog. I'm a child of God. So therefore, I have a season. Prosperity. Joseph was prosperous, but the thing about it is that God brought him to a place of humility. He humbled him, and the Bible says that if you're humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he will what? Exalt you in due season. The only way up is the way down. We have to humble ourselves, and God had humbled Joseph, brought him to an humbled place, and when he was humbled, the Bible said that he prospered, amen? Even in his humility, he prospered. Some of us are afraid to humble ourselves because we think that we're not going to look like we're prosperous. Don't you see Joseph here in the Bible? Even if after he was humbled, he still looked prosperous. He still was prosperous. And look at what it says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Here it is, an Egyptian who's probably a pagan said that this boy got something special about him. You see, sometimes there are non-believers that'll look at your life and they'll say, you know what? That's something special about him. They'll wonder, who are you? What do you do? You know, I'm not bragging, but oftentimes people say, who are you? What do you do? When I would normally not even get a look, but I know it's not me. It's the God in me. It's the I am factor that goes along with me. God is with me. The power of the Holy Ghost is in me. And so they identify. And don't you know the devil identifies it too? He knows that God is with you, so he can't mess with you. He got to set up traps. He got to set up tricks, and he got to get in people in order to do something you because he can't really touch you himself because God is there. So he set other folks up to do it. He set traps in the way to try to get you. He set obstacles in your way to try to trip you up because he can't face you himself because God is with you. Prosperity of Joseph. Now look, let's go on, and I'm almost done. Verse 4 says, and Joseph found grace in his sight. He found what? Favor. And he served him. Huh. We get grace and we don't want to serve. Joseph found grace. He found favor in this man's sight. And God gave him grace, enabling grace. See, there's a twofold meaning of grace. The one means favor, and the other one means enabling power. God gives you enabling power, which in turn people will give you favor because of what God enabled you to do. Uh-huh. And he found grace in his sight, and he what? Served him. He served him. And the Bible didn't say he was complaining about him. The Bible didn't say he was mad because he was there. Although I know it had to hurt him, but Joseph had a dream. Joseph said, I'm not letting my trials take away my dream. I'm not letting my situation and my circumstances stop me from dreaming. I'm not going to stop hoping that one day I will become greater than what I am now. Oh, my God. See, sometimes we let situations happen in our life, and then we give up greatness. We give up wanting to be great. We give up hope for doing something greater than where we are. We say, well, I just need to accept it and go on. God said, you can accept it, but you can go on further than where you plan on going to. Humble yourself. And then he said that his, look at this. He says he found grace. And the last thing I want you to see, not only did God give a plan and protection for him and prosperity for him, but God promoted him. We got to understand that promotion comes from God. Look at what happened here. And Joseph found grace. He served him and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put into his hand. So he made Joseph overseer of his house. He said, now I'm going to promote you. You came here a slave, but I'm going to promote you because of the favor of God. I'm going to promote you because you didn't complain, but you served like you were supposed to. And he promoted him and gave him overseer of his house. But then verse 5 says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house, and then it says, and over all the land. He made him not only overseer of the house, but everything over the land. See, this man was a landlord. So Joseph was overseer over the land. Amen. And so he says, look, Joseph, I'm making you overseer not only of the house, but over all of the land that he had. And the Lord, what? Blessed the Egyptians' house for Joseph's sake. Do you understand what's happening here? That God wants to bless people sometime because of you. Because of you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, you. I know you say, me? Yes, you. God blesses people because of you. You came into somebody's life and now they're blessed. Amen. I came into somebody's life and I'm telling you today, that's why you're blessed. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm not bragging, but I know that that's what God is doing. We have to get in people's lives and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm here to bless your life. We got to believe that if somebody's coming to your life to curse your life, to bring your life down, you need to identify. And we got to be better at identification. We got to be better at identifying who's there to bless us and who's there to curse us. We got to know who's there for a reason and who's there for the season. We need to know when to cut it loose and move on. Shoot them the deuce and let it go. We got to understand that happens sometime, but we got to do it and be wise about it. But too many of us, we're not wise enough to see that some of this stuff is cursing us. Some of this stuff get us caught up in things that we shouldn't be caught up in. And they're not there to bless us, but they're there to hurt us. They're there. But you know one thing I love about God? That when the devil set us up for hurt, the devil meant it for bad. But oh, I'm so glad that God will turn it around for our good. Do I have a witness here? God will turn it around for our good. And the Bible says that Joseph, because of him, that the man Potiphar's house was blessed, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. First, the house was getting blessed, and he realized, because Joseph's in my house, my house is getting blessed. And then he said, I might as well make him overseer of the field and the house. Since the house is doing good, the field can do good. And the Bible says, because Joseph was in the house and he gave him charge over the field, that the field became productive because of Joseph. And I want you to know.